well, I was just looking, and we may be cutting down on the notes because I got a lot of stuff. I'm really excited to be able to be doing this tonight. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Some of you know me very well. Some of you know me a little bit. Some of you probably don't know me at all. So I'm going to give you a little background that might be helpful. I have two boys. They are grown. My oldest son will actually be 30 next week. I know, it makes me feel really old. But and then the younger one is, they're only 13 months apart, so obviously he's going to be 29 soon. But I homeschooled our kids from kindergarten all the way through high school. They both made it into college and graduated from college, so that was good. They're both married now with kids of their own. The oldest, Paul, is in Madison. He has one daughter. And then our youngest son, Aaron, is in Ohio, and they have four kids with another one on the way. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. The oldest one is five, the youngest one just turned one, and so they're having a good time. And we have a really good time when we're there, but we're really tired by the time we leave. But, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit with you about parenting, about just about important things that we need to share with our kids. And, you know, parenting is a great blessing from God for us to have kids. It is also one of, I think, the most difficult things that we ever deal with because we're so emotionally attached to our kids. And that doesn't go away when they're grown. When they leave the house, it doesn't get easier. I don't think. In my opinion, it's still really hard because you don't have the ability to just tell them what to do. You pray and believe that God is going to tell them and that they're going to hear it and then do it. That's like the whole purpose of parenting. From the moment that you get that baby, you're growing them up, raising them, training them to be out on their own and to be hearing from God. Amen. That's the purpose of us as parents. So let's just pray. God, I just thank you so much for your goodness in our lives, God, that when we were sinners, you still loved us. God, that you made a way for us, that you have come to help us, to show us how to lead and train up our children, God, to be godly men and women for you, to make a difference in this world, God, to bring your kingdom to earth that others can see it, God, that they will be visible for you everywhere that they go. And we just pray, God, a blessing on all of our kids, little ones all the way up to adult ones. And God, I pray that you just help me to stay focused and share your word tonight. And thank you so much, Father God, for this church and this place. Amen. All right, so if we start in Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Now, the Bible says that children are a blessing from God. It doesn't say that some children are a blessing of God from God. It says that all children are a blessing from God. No matter how they're conceived, children are a blessing from God. I don't care if you're a single mom, that child is a blessing from God. Now, if you choose for it to not be your blessing, then it can be someone else's blessing. But those children are a blessing, every single one of them. And all of the children that we get as little babies, they are all just a fresh canvas. There's really nothing there. There's a personality. There's a plan that God has for them. But they don't know anything. They don't know anything. They know when they're hungry, and they know when they're uncomfortable. But we have the ability to see them the way that God sees them, and from the very beginning to start speaking God's word into their lives, to start leading them to Him. Because, you know, as parents, I don't know about you, but, well, I do know about you. None of you will ever be able to fulfill all of the needs that your child has. You can't. You're not physically able to. You can't give them and provide for them everything that they need. But the good news is that God can. God will. We just have to lead them in that direction. And parenting is really hard. Like I said, it can be really difficult. But the other good news is you're not in it all by yourself. There are other people in the church. There is God who has so much grace to help us in situations. And we have His word. What would we do if we didn't have His word to explain to us all that we need to know about children? Because there is so much. And in reality, they aren't any different than us. They're just little people. God loves them the same. And you know, while I was a sinner, God loved me enough to send Jesus for me. And His love doesn't waver on whether I'm good or bad that day. His love is constant. And that's the same way it is for your kids. And we need to try to show that to them, show them that we love them all the time. We don't love their actions, good or bad. We love the child. And we need to make a separation between those things. You know, we only have children, our children, for a short time. They aren't ours, but you know what I mean. Like, I'm the one that raised mine. But they aren't mine because I only got them on loan for a little while with the purpose of raising them and training them to follow God. And so, like I said, from the beginning, your assignment with your children is to raise them to follow Him. One of the most important things I think that children need to know is that they are loved. They need to know that you love them. And I will tell you, you cannot give your child too much affection. You can't. You know, you may be too lenient with them. That's a different thing than being affectionate with them, telling them that you love them, snuggling with them, hugging them. I know, you know, some people aren't huggy kind of people. But with your kids, come on, they're little kids. I like want to hug all of your kids, and I'm not a huggy person. You know, so don't mistake leniency or you, because you know how people will tell you, you know, oh, if you do that, you're just going to spoil them. I don't know how many times I heard that when they were babies. If you hold them all the time, you're going to spoil them. Well, I wish I would have held mine more, you know. And so when my daughter-in-law says, oh, no, I don't really want you to hold her because I don't want her to get spoiled. It's like, you know, I want to spoil them. That's my job. I'm the grandma. I'm supposed to do that. And you deal with what happens later after I leave. That's the good part of grandparenting. And, you know, part of loving our kids is discipline. I'm not going to talk very much about that tonight. I will say it's really important. Because, you know, it talks about how foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Left to their own, all children will be foolish. If they aren't given direction, they all will be. And we have to, it's our job to train them, and discipline is part of it. Discipline is not something that anybody likes. The kids don't like it for sure. Parents don't like it. Sometimes I think I hated it worse than my boys did. And sometimes just because it was inconvenient. You know, sometimes disciplining your kids is inconvenient, and it has to be consistent. And that's the part that's inconvenient, is that it has to be consistent. So you've had a bad day at work, and you're tired, and you don't want to deal with it. So you just think, oh, well, I'm just going to let that go tonight. You can't. You really can't. Because the next time when you've had a bad day and you're tired, and then they're going to know, you know, I can probably get away with this. And you can't discipline by moods, by the mood that you're in. I knew a girl that I swear her kids could tear down the house around her if she was in a good mood. It was just like, oh, you know. And the next day she's in a bad mood, you look cross-eyed at her, and it was not going to be a good thing. So, you know, you have to be consistent. Can't be based on your moods. And it's not easy, you know, but what I would always tell people is you have to love that child more than you love yourself. Because you have to be focused on what's good for them, not what is convenient for you at the time. Let's see. And then, when we're talking to our kids, I want you to think about the way God talks to you. You know, God, when we're being disciplined, he will point out where we're wrong, where we're going the wrong way. This is the wrong thing. You weren't kind. You know, you weren't kind in that situation, and, you know, we need you to work on that. And it's gentle. You know, when God comes and he reveals those things to us that we are not doing correctly or not what is in his will for us, and he kind of breaks us, but he does it very gracefully and gently because he loves us. And we need to be the same way with our kids. We need to be speaking love and grace to them. And like I said earlier, let them know that it's not the actions that we love. I mean, sometimes it is the good actions you do love, but it's the child that we focus on. It's what God has created and put in them that we're focused on. You know, it says in, I want to go to Psalm 139, verse 13. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture because when I was young, we had a missionary couple that came and stayed at our house, and that was not common for us. And one night, the lady, she pulled me aside. She's like, I just really feel like God wants me to share this scripture with you, which I was not really accustomed to because I grew up in a Baptist church and God didn't tell people things to share with other people in the church where I was. That just didn't happen. And so she shared this portion of scripture with me. It said, For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. And I thought and pondered on that for years and years and years, and I feel like I'm just now starting to understand that. And a few weeks ago, we were doing our craft night, and I always start our craft night with a Bible verse, and we talk about it a little bit, and then we do our crafts. And I used that verse. And one of the girls looked, I said, what does that mean to you? And one of the girls looked at me and she said, that means God made us awesome. We are awesome because of the way he made us. And it just brought, I mean, how do you not have just a huge smile on your face after a child tells you that? You know, and this was a very quiet child, typically. I was so excited. It's like, yes. She understands. They are awesome. God created them to be awesome. And he has a path and a purpose for them. And it's our job as parents to guide them that way, to help them to see that. But one of the important things as parents in guiding our children that way is that we have to have that real relationship with God. Because we can't give and teach something that we don't have or know. So, you know, just keep seeking after him. And your kids, you know, as you travel on that journey, take your kids along. Let them see the love that you have for Jesus. You know, sometimes we can be very, like, we can hide our heart from our kids, I think. And that's one of the things that I wish I had known more when my kids were small. Because I have been a notorious heart hider. Because I don't always want everybody to know, you know. I don't know. You just, if there are any of you here that are like that, you understand what I'm saying. If not, then it probably just sounds stupid. But, you know, you need to share your heart with your kids. Let them know you're following God, that God is good, that God has a plan, that God loves them. And just let them see your journey with God. Let them see you praying. Let them see you praising and worshiping Him, and not just at church. It's not just about Sunday morning or Sunday morning and Wednesday night. It's really about all the other times during the week. That's what your kids see. And they have to see that from you. They have to know that it's real and it's true and it's genuine, because if it's not, they will know. They'll know you're playing, and it's not going to mean very much to them when you start trying to tell them about what God wants in their life. The other thing, children need to know that they are loved by God. And I have some scriptures. I'm just going to go really quick through these because I've got several of them. And really the reason that I have these for you tonight is just to kind of get you started, to give you just a few, for you to seek out on your own, to find the scriptures about God's love, not just for your kids, they're for you too. It's all the same. Your kids are just little people. They're just small, and you need to, you know, we're trying to train them in the way that they need to go. But God can use them in amazing ways. You know, I see the kids in class. I see them praying for each other. I see them being kind to each other. I see them sharing things with each other. Not like you would think that little kids would do. But they're so capable of so much more than what we give them credit for. You know, sometimes we just think, well, it's just a little kid. Well, that's not true. I've had little kids in there that have taught me a lot, and I have seen them not be shy to pray with each other and to share with each other. And we need to listen to them and watch that in them. God can work through them just as much as He can through us. Probably even easier He can work through them, because they're not standing around thinking, oh, I don't know if that's really God or not, and I don't know if I want to say anything. And because they really aren't always that shy. Kids just aren't. Okay, so I already read to you Psalm 139:14. But in Psalm 86:15, it talks about how God is full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. And you know, one of the things that I wish that I had learned when I was a child was that God was full of compassion, that He loved me, that He was loving and kind and gracious, and that He wasn't angry, that He wasn't holding my sins against me all the time. I got saved I was like 12. And that was good for a few years until I started really doing some stuff that was like, it was just not right. You know, it wasn't right. And then in my head, it's like, okay, well, now the bad is starting to outweigh the good so much that it's not even going to pay to be good anymore. Ever been there? You know, it's like, I can't balance this baby out, so we might as well just go all in for bad. And I was like that. I was very much like that. I wasn't respectful. It was just bad. Because I didn't know that God really loved me. He had this love for me that it's like I get more and more of it. I can see more of it every day. You know, I get glimpses of the holiness of God, and that He was willing to make us holy in our sin, that He was willing to send Jesus for us to make us holy, that we could have relationship with Him. And when those glimpses come, it's like you can't, it's like you just, it undoes me. I don't know what else to say, but it just undoes me. And that's what your kids need to know. Kids just need to know they're loved. And I just want all the kids to know they're loved. You know, I'm in Walmart, and you know what Walmart is like? You're in Walmart, and you know, there's kids crying and screaming, and You know, I just, sometimes my heart just breaks for those kids. Because they either have, one, a parent that is ignoring them, and maybe they need to be ignored a little bit at the time, but sometimes it goes beyond when ignoring is a good thing. You know, they're ignoring them, or they're just yelling and screaming at them. And that's not going to do anything. You can yell and scream at me all day. It is not necessarily going to make me change anything. You know? And it, you just want those kids to know, you know what? God loves you. And so things that we do, outreaches that we do in kids' church, sometimes it's for no other purpose than for some kids to know that somebody loves them. Somebody cares about them. You know, that they can learn that church people are not mean people. That church is a kind and a loving place to go. That people there can help you, will help you. That they love you. That, you know, you can only share so much with kids in like an hour or two of an encounter. But if they can come away and feel loved and feel like somebody cared about them, then I feel like that was totally worth all the work that we put into it. Let's see. Zephaniah 3:17. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. I love that verse. I love the part where it says he will quiet you with his love. That's like a great prayer for your children. He will quiet you with his love. He rejoices over you with singing. And then Romans 5:8, God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, all kids are different. And as parents, we need to kind of know what motivates our kids because it's going to be different things for different kids. Our two boys are night and day different. You know, you start to think, oh, well, this works. Well, it doesn't work with the second one. So you have to be very open to God's spirit and let him lead you in what to do, how to train those kids. Because God knows, you may not know, but God knows. And if you listen, he will share that with you. And then I've talked about how our goal is to lead our children to God. And when I was talking a little bit earlier about being genuine in your walk with Christ because your kids know. Think about what are the habits in your home? What do you make important in your home? You know, is God the most important thing in your home? Church important in your home? Sports important in your home? You know, if you had to stop and look, you know, I know Bill used to say, if you want to see what's important to you, check, you know, look in your checkbook register, for those of you who still have one. You know, look at that, and you'll see where the money goes, and you can follow the money to what is important in your life. And the time. Follow what you spend the most time on. You know, what are you doing with your kids? What are you showing them? Because they're seeing that. You know, if you choose sports over church on Sunday, they see that. They know. Our boys never had to question, are we going to church? Are we not going to church? Because we were going to church. He was pastoring. But even before that, they knew we were going to church. You know, and help them to know. I've talked about how they have the ability to pray for people and to help people and to love other people and to be kind and help them to know that that is part of what God created them for. Whether you're young, whether you're old, those are things that God has created us to do. And then as a parent, what I would consider one of your first responsibilities is to teach your children scripture. You know, let them start getting that in them at an early age. I will tell you, 5 and 6 year olds can memorize long portions of scripture because we used to give our boys a portion, as soon as they could read, a portion of scripture, and they had the month to memorize it. And if they got it memorized by the end of the month, there were awesome good things that came to them. And they can do it. And they could learn that, and they could learn their scriptures at church. And it was amazing what those kids could learn. My parents were like, I didn't even know that they could memorize that kind of stuff. Like, I know. Well, you know, you can't sell them short. I don't know if that's actually, if I used that right. But you can't do that because they are so capable of so much. There's so much that they can do. They have amazing little brains that aren't all cluttered up with the stuff that our brains are cluttered up with. Makes it easier. Okay, and then I just have one more thing. I think I'm going to get it done. Okay, the other thing that I really feel that is important for kids to know is that the world doesn't revolve around them. And somehow in our society, we've missed that part. You know, we have all of these kids and teenagers and young adults that all think that everything revolves around them. You know, like they were, you as a parent are put here to provide for them indefinitely. You know, how many people, you know, how many young adults are living in their parents' basements? I mean, really, you know, Paul told me the other day, he's like, you know, my generation, the millennials, are better at paying off their debts than your generation. And I just looked at him, I said, it's because we're still paying for your generation. You know, I mean, and that's not Paul. Paul is doing his own thing. But, you know, there are a lot of people in that generation who parents are still providing for them. I know adult, I mean, my age or older, who still have access to their adult kids' checking and savings accounts and look to see how the money is going. Whether, you know, if they're saving enough, if they're spending it, what they're doing with it. And their kids are my age. I mean, not my age, but my kids' age. You know, and I'm just like, why? They can either make it by that time or they're not going to, but it's not my responsibility anymore, you know. So anyway, teach your kids to be a blessing. That it's not about them, it's about them being a blessing to others. That's a lesson we need to learn. That's a lesson we need to show our kids. You know, and that was part of us going to the home a couple weeks ago, is teaching the kids to be a blessing, to give them an opportunity to bless someone else, that it's not all about them, because sometimes it's uncomfortable. You know, some of those situations are uncomfortable, but we need to look for places to let them share the love of Jesus. And that, you know, parents are responsible for the spiritual upbringing of their children, not the church, the parents are. But the church is like the icing on the cake. So like a grandparent, I get to do the fun stuff with your kids. I get to take them to places and expose them to different things and get to see, you know, okay, well, they were uncomfortable because of this, and then be able to explain, you know, people are different. Some people have disabilities, and that doesn't make them weird, and it doesn't make them scary. They're just different. And we need to show them that Jesus loves them too. You know, so I get those kind of opportunities because sometimes parents don't have the time to do that. So I get to make time. And, you know, my grandkids are in Madison and in Ohio. So really, I'm just treating all of your kids like they're my grandkids. And I'm just playing with them and doing fun things with them. And teach them to help others, to be kind, to give. We started, as soon as our kids started getting any kind of money, any kind of an allowance or any kind of an income, they had three jars. They had free spending money. They had short-term savings or long-term savings. Maybe they had four jars. I don't know. And then they had their tithe and offerings. And we taught them early that you tithe on the money that comes in and that God will bless what you give to him. And one of our sons loved rubber bands. Aaron loved rubber bands. And so he would put rubber bands in the offering so that he could have more rubber bands. That was what he got from that. And so every time I'm out, if I see a rubber band on the ground, sometimes I'll take a picture of it and send it to him. Like, should I pick that up? But, you know, when they're little, that's cute. It's cute. They're kind of catching on to the concept. But the other thing I wanted to talk about, real quick, in Philippians 4, verse 8. It's a verse about what to think on. I didn't like this verse for a long time because I didn't like being told what I was supposed to think. But I love it now. I was a little rebellious. I don't know. Yeah, thanks. So anyway, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I don't find myself in there at all to just think about me, but to think about all of those things. And if we can teach our children to think on those things, it will save them a lot of heartache. Because they'll learn to not be driven and tossed by their emotions. They'll learn to think about the good things of God. And you know, God's grace is here for us as parents. I don't know how we would do it without God's grace. You know, I love Pastor Ben's analogy with the little stool that he made for Paige so that she could put away dishes. I will always remember that. You know, God's grace fills in the gap for us. We have to do something. He can't fill in the whole space. I mean, he can, but he's not going to. That's partly you have to do something. You have to start, and then God's grace fills in the gap. And he's so good to us to do that. No parent is perfect. No child is perfect. But God's grace fills in the gaps. And, you know, my prayer is that my kids are better parents than I was. You know, I know a lot more about parenting now than I did when I was 21. And I wish I had known all that I know now then. Because I have patience like you wouldn't believe now. I had no patience then. But that's part of being a grandparent. You get to share that with your grandkids because the moms don't always have the patience. So, you know, let God fill in that gap. Trust him and his goodness to you because it is so great. It is so great. God is so good to us and so kind to us and so gentle with us. You know, in all of those things, we should be with our kids. We should be good and kind and gentle. Show them that you love them. Tell them that God loves them and that he has a plan for them. Lead them to God. He is the only one that can fulfill all of their needs. And then, you know, help them learn to be a blessing. And it's not quite five after. So, you know, I just want to still encourage you as parents. You know, you're not alone. You're not alone. There are people in the church that will help you, that will pray with you. And I would encourage people in the church when, you know, if that situation arises and somebody asks you, you need to be honest with them. And that's a hard thing when it's talking about someone raising their children. It's hard sometimes to be honest, but you're being no help to them at all if you aren't. So, thanks.
Well, don't go too far because, you know, I don't know if they're done being let out or something, but I don't know about you, but do you get the impression that as she talks that you just smile more and more? I just sat there going, I don't know. I was so excited and happy. Everything you said, I just kept going more and more. I think I'm just going to die and go to heaven. It's just so good. It's so good. Everything you said is just, I felt the anointing on it. And in complete sincerity, I could sense the Holy Spirit all over this woman. And this is me being just prophetic over you in front of everybody. I see the call of God on her life so vividly. It's like Jesus has just spray painted all kinds of stuff over you. I just can't. That's part of what I'm so excited about. I see her influencing people more than what I can even express here or imagine. It really is. God's got a mark on you, and it was just very exciting to see you function in this way. I see the love of Jesus just permeating you for kids and families, and it's just so wonderful. So could you stand with me tonight? I'm going to have Sarah do something. If I know, you know, we're a small crowd. This is just like family, right? So I know there's all kinds of families represented here, but if you still have kids in the home that you have the potential to really mess up or help, that's why I say that. I'm right there in that mix. I can really mess up four of them still. One of them's almost escaped, but there's three more that I still can influence. But would you join us down here? And I want to have Sarah just pray over us. You don't have to, but if you would mind, this would be great. Let's just come and have Sarah pray over us and let her just minister for a second or two over each of us. Because some of the stuff she said, I just believe the Holy Spirit is speaking through her, and I just don't want to miss out on what God wants to deposit in me. Amen? So would you just pray for us for a couple minutes, maybe, and just bless us. And so if you're not up here, just join in and just pray, and pray for our homes, pray for our kids, because we all needs it. Amen? We all needs it. So, well, let's just pray. Gospel, wash me. Yeah.